Good morning, good morning. It's Brenda Eshin Shoshana, back with another episode of Zen Wisdom for Your Everyday Life, The Unshakable Road to Love. I guess these two titles have become merged somewhat because it's actually Zazen or Zen practice is unshakable. It's a way to become completely unshakable. What does that even mean, to be unshakable? Does it mean to be rigid when something is happening, to resist it? If a big wind is blowing, whatever that wind may be, say it's a wind, a storm is coming. Oh my gosh, I don't want to shake in the storm. I'm going to just sit here rigidly and oppose it and say, no, I'm not going to shake in the storm. Or God forbid, if an illness is coming, or if a loss is coming, I won't cry. I'm going to be unshakable. I'm not going to feel it. Let me say, no, no, no. That is not what unshakable means, and it's not Zen practice. It's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. Now, there are times, of course, in Zen practice when we sit and don't move. I mean, a lot of it is on the outside. It looks like that we're sitting, we're not moving until the bell rings, which is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Because usually whatever happens, we jump here, we jump there, we react. So in Zazen practice, you sit down, keep a posture, and no, don't move until the bell rings. Well, that might look as if we're resisting. We're fighting against the wish to jump up. We're fighting against the wish to scratch an itch or to soothe a pain. Well, we're not fighting against it. What we're doing is we're experiencing it fully rather than reacting to it or trying to soothe it immediately or to change it. We are experiencing it. We're allowing it to happen. When we sit there, we don't run away from anything that arises. Nothing. We cannot. If we cannot move, we can't run away. At least we cannot run away physically. Of course, we can run away emotionally, mentally. We can start to hate it. We can start to demand that it go away. We can start to fantasize, remove ourselves mentally, emotionally. We can start to do all of that, which certainly is a way of running away. But the difference is if we're doing that while we're sitting without moving, we are inevitably observing and seeing and becoming aware of our game, our trip, what we're doing. It's not happening unconsciously anymore. And as soon as the unconsciousness of it, the dimness of it is removed, as soon as we become aware of it, that awareness instantly alters it. Immediately, inevitably. Can't be otherwise. Oh, look at that. I lapsed into dreams again. Because you will wake up out of whatever fantasy or dream arises. No matter how much it scoops you away, as you're sitting there, you wake up. And you, again, become aware. You see something. You feel it. You know, much of our life, we try to escape. We submerge. We run from. We deny it. We don't want it. We don't like it. That's not the way to be unshakable. Unshakable means accepting of everything. Allowing is a better word. Allowing of everything. And when we are allowing everything to happen as it happens, now, it doesn't mean that we do not make an appropriate response. We do, inevitably. But the response comes from another part of ourselves. It doesn't come from a habitual refusal of life. What does it mean to allow something? That's a better word than accept. Because when I say accept, many people think, oh, I mean, even if something terrible happens, I will accept it. I won't become angry. I won't become disturbed. And again, that's not true. You will feel whatever you feel, and you will allow the feelings. What you won't do is take automatic, habitual, knee-jerk reactions to them. Because those habitual, knee-jerk reactions simply create more of the same thing. They intensify the difficulty and the problem. They make it more disturbing, more intense. They don't allow it to pass by, to end, to morph, to change. Now, if you allow whatever arises to arise and stop interfering, what arises inevitably, naturally, morphs into something else. It transforms. It doesn't stay forever unless you are engaging with it in a very intense way, unless you're giving power to it, unless you are holding it to you. But whatever arises, if you just allow it to arise, it's like smoke. It will drift away. If you just let it be there, experience it, and that's enough. Then the next moment arises, and it's gone. That is the nature of arising and departing. See, we don't like that. That might seem creepy. We don't want things to just arise and depart. What happens if something beautiful arises? We want that to last forever. We want to hold on to that. We want to identify with that. We want to own that. We don't want that to depart. So when something beautiful arises, we're clinging to it. And unfortunately, we get into that habit of clinging it, owning it, identifying with it, possessing it. So when something that arises that's not beautiful, that's painful, that's disturbing arises, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We cling to it. We fight with it. We reject it. We're angry about it. We're engaging with it in that kind of way rather than just to fully experience it and be grateful for that moment of beautiful experience. And by grateful, I mean to taste the meal thoroughly. Delicious. Yum, yum, yum. Taste it, chew it, digest it, swallow it. Yum, yum, yum. We had that moment thoroughly. And then we're ready for the next moment. Whatever it is, that's what I mean by allowing. Now, if it's necessary, some kind of response is inherently necessary in the moment, we will do it just automatically, naturally, without even thinking. The other day, I was actually on the street taking a walk. And there was a little, beautiful little child with their nanny about to cross the street. A lot of traffic here in Manhattan, a lot of commotion at times. I was just walking, but I was fully there. At that moment, I happened to be, thank goodness, fully there. I mean, there as much as I was there. And this person in a scooter was coming toward that little child, not even knowing it, unaware, not to harm the child, but they were on a trajectory. And the child was there, and I was part of that trajectory, so I could just, without even thinking of it, jump forward, pull the child back, pull the nanny back. The scooter went on its way. It all happened in just a moment, like the wave of a tree, all part of the moment. So it doesn't mean that we don't take some kind of automatic, appropriate, beneficial action. Oh, yes, of course. If we're there, we're part of it. We do what's needed. So this is not about being passive. So many people say, well, it's just about being passive, sitting there. I would say just the opposite. Just the opposite is true. Because when you're really there and allowing everything to be as it is, not going into my head about how awful the people on the scooters are, but I was present with what was really happening, and so I could do what was needed. I didn't even do it. It was done through me. And then the next moment came. So this was a very striking event. And it taught me again, you know, these events, we learn from life so much. How important it is, crucial, not to go off in my head about something, but to be available to life fully. And that is becoming unshakable. You're unshakable because you're available, because you're not going off into a rant about this and that. And the other thing which consumes your energy, and you feel so virtuous with a rant of some kind. Oh, look at these, and this should have this, and we should do that, and this isn't happening. And it's very easy to go off into that. And it's a mistake, because we're not available anymore to what's really happening and to joining in some beneficial way if it's called for. This is like a life koan. In Zen, you know, we have our koans given to us by the teachers, and more importantly are the koans given to us by life. What's happening moment by moment? And life is always asking us, are you here? Where are you? Are you here? Are you available? Will you allow me to be what I am? That's life itself asking. And of course, most of the time we say, no, I won't allow that. No. But that's why it's so, so important to sit. For me, anyway, I mean, maybe not everybody. There are many ways of becoming available, but I love this way. So that's why I do this podcast for 5 years now. Because this practice of Zazen has allows me to be so aware and available to whatever moment is coming. You know, of course, there are moments I love on the cushion. I love them. I want them to last all day. And there are moments I can't wait for them to be over, of course. But whether I feel one way or another is really irrelevant. It's irrelevant because they will be what they'll be no matter how I feel. And so the great gift of Zazen, the great art of Zazen, is no matter how you feel, to taste each moment thoroughly. Allow it. Don't judge it. Don't fight it. Don't hate it. Welcome it. Allow it. Really allow it. You might be surprised when you do, because you'll notice that you're not shutting down anymore. You're not so afraid of the next moment. Oh my gosh, what's going to come now? No, because you just allow it. You experience it. You taste it. And then you allow the next moment. And then when that's it, when you're not judging it, clinging to it, demanding it be a different way, when you're not engaging, when you're not entangled with it in that way, inevitably, the nature of the moment is that it changes into another moment. And that's the nature of life itself. So in a sense, Zazen is a tremendous microcosm of what happens in life itself. And you are going, it's like working out, I guess, at the gym, although I don't go to the gym. It's like working out, developing muscles, developing the ability to be available. And it is something I need to develop, to work with all the time. Now, that is also called cultivation. It's called many things. But as long as I'm alive here in the world, I feel grateful for the opportunity to constantly practice in a very intense way, in a very focused way, this process of just noticing how the moments come and go, and that they don't belong to me. They're here, they are. They're an offering to me, but I don't own them. I need not grip them. I need not identify with them or possess them, just to experience them thoroughly. And that's true with people, too, who come to us, into our lives. And it's true with situations that present themselves. So much to be said about all of this. Each time we say a little, we say it again and again, the same old thing, but from a slightly different vantage point. So today I really, really, really wish all of you the great joy of just try it for one day or for 1 hour, of just allowing each moment to be new and fresh and not to cling to it. And then you don't take it personally. It's not personal. It's happening. You will respond. You're not disconnected. But you don't have to take it as if it's some kind of a judgment against you, taking it personally. Take it for what it is. Take it all. And in Zazen, then we say thank you. Gassho, we bow. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to experience the moments as they come and as they go. So thank you again today for listening. Looks like the time is up for today. The URL is www.zenwisdomtoday.com. If you wish to write to me, I love your emails, by the way. I've been getting such beautiful emails. Thank you. That is topspeaker@yahoo.com. And have a beautiful day with unexpected moments. Take care. Bye.